One of the most exciting things that I found about digital tools is they give an opportunity for students who are typically disenfranchised in the classroom to be viewed as students by their peers. That motivation is exciting and it creates an interesting dynamic in the classroom where kids who were once considered outcasts by others are instead seen as intellectual equals. That even occurs in schools where students struggle with access to computers outside of the building as well. I found over time that the majority of students find a way to get online if they're motivated by the conversation. One of the most common questions I'm asked in a digital presentation, though, is how do you engage students of poverty in digital conversations? That's a question I tackle in this clip after being asked by a teacher working in a high-poverty school whether these approaches to engaging students in learning are even possible for her. Hey, Franklin County, you have a question?
If I can find her.
It's all right. We'll take it from anybody.
All right. Our students here, 75% of them don't have computers. Mm-hmm. They really don't care that they don't have them. They also, their favorite topics are sex, fighting, gangs, and basketball. They have very antagonistic behavior. How can we get them interested in something like this?
Right. My answer to the technology barrier is a simple one. I worked in a school that had very similar demographics to yours, and the vast majority of my students had a way to get online. You know, they may not have had a computer in their house, but they had a way to get online. In fact, the survey that I did, I think it was 93% of my kids had a way that they could get online if they needed to. None of the projects you've heard me say, none of the projects that I do are graded, so they're not required. And what I rely on is motivation. I mean, if they're interested in the topic that we're talking about, then they'll come. I see it as my job as the teacher to know my kids and to know what will motivate my kids and to create a learning experience that they'll be jazzed by. And what I found is that the vast majority of my kids, even after I created an opportunity for them, if they didn't have technology at home, were getting online somewhere. My favorite kid was this kid named Robbie. And I don't know if I, is that me? We had this kid named Robbie in my class, and Robbie was suspended almost constantly. Robbie was the kind of kid who in the middle of class would stand up and flip his desk over. You know, he'd get frustrated because he'd be embarrassed in front of his peers. And so he would get up and flip his desks and he'd curse and swear. I remember one day walking him down the hallway, and he used every curse word in the book plus some. I didn't even know. Teachers were closing the doors as I was walking by. I mean, he's probably the most difficult kid you could imagine. And Robbie would get online the vast majority of time in the ISS room, which was funny. I mean, you know, the ISS teacher would say, you need to send some worksheets for Robbie. And what I would say is, look, put Robbie on our discussion board and let him make some contributions to the conversation there. And the thing that was most exciting to me is that Robbie had the opportunity on the discussion board to become an equal with his peers. In our classroom, Robbie was an outcast. The kids were like, what's up with that dude? But he would get on the discussion board and he would have time to think and he would have time to express himself and he would make remarkable posts. They weren't proofread very well. They weren't edited very well. But they had remarkable thinking behind them. And what would happen that was neat is that the other kids would see Robbie's thoughts and they would go, holy cow, that kid's smart. And when he would come back in the classroom, kids who maybe would never have spoken to him before would actually start to interact with him. They'd be like, wow, Robbie, I saw what you wrote on the discussion board. It was pretty remarkable. Or online, on the discussion board, somebody would reply to Robbie. They would say, hey man, what a great thought. Here's what I'm thinking. And over time, what I saw happen with those kids that are typically disenfranchised is I saw them have an opportunity to shine like they'd never shined before. And it sort of made them feel like a student, where maybe they hadn't felt like a student before. Now, don't get me wrong. Everything that I do is moderated by me. And I can put different levels of restrictions on it. And if one of my kids were writing about gangs, drugs, sex, all of those things, I would certainly have them blocked really quickly, you know? But I've done this now for, I think, 4 years, and in 4 years I've had one inappropriate comment ever. And I've worked in some pretty tough schools, too. I mean, I've worked in a lot of schools that don't struggle with poverty. But at the same time, I've also worked in schools that do struggle with poverty, and in all that time, I've had maybe one kid make an inappropriate comment. What do I attribute that to? Motivation. I mean, that's it. You know, I was talking to my student teacher yesterday, and she said, these kids are all unmotivated. They don't want to do anything. They don't want to... And I said, you know what? Go check out our blog. You can't tell me they're unmotivated. They've made 250 posts for no grade at all. Go check out our wiki. They've created 237 pages of ungraded content. They're not unmotivated. It's that we haven't found the key to motivate them.